We keep thinking we're going to have Michael Balava on for one segment, and then it becomes, you know, we're on number two now. Yeah, I'm just so interested in this stuff. I can't stop myself.
Just getting started. Haven't even hit Hartford yet.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Let's start with yesterday on the show. That seemed pretty creepy. Can we talk about that, Michael?
Yes, of course. Before certainly, yeah.
All right. Yeah, go ahead and set it up.
But we were discussing Downs Road, and Downs Road, it was once a complete thoroughfare between Hamden and Bethany.
No, but do you remember when you cut out?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, that was really strange.
Here, let me play the clip.
That was New Haven, 1824,
when your time ran out.
That
Michael?
Was spooky.
Michael?
Michael!
So, what's weird about that is we've had so many people... We lose connection with them. I've never heard that sound before in my
life.
Nope.
Never. No, that was new.
That was new. That's not even a normal phone, you know, like you press the keys with your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, it sounded like a cricket all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's an electronic cricket.
Yeah.
Michael, what was up with that?
You know, I was right in the middle of talking and discussing the New Haven cadaver riots, and all of a sudden, on my end, it was as if somebody was dialing the phone. There were somebody, and there's nobody in the house but me, and the other extension was on the hook, but I could definitely hear somebody, like as if they picked up the phone and they were dialing it.
Did you want to?
That's what I heard.
Did you want to talk about what you think it was, or no?
Well. I really should. My wife Janice just recently passed away.
Oh, sorry,
man.
Brother.
Sorry, man.
Sorry.
And that was in April. And I'll converse with Janice, say hello. You know, I tell her how much I love her. But there's never been any kind of activity whatsoever, except the second night that we did the second time we did the show. That night, I did hear somebody moving around the house, and I figured it must be somebody outside, you know, slamming a car door or talking. I went to the door, and there was nobody outside, and the noise continued for a while. It sounded like somebody was walking and moving things, and I even shouted out, hello, is there somebody there? Maybe I figured somebody's at the back door. No, there was nobody in or near the house but me. And then so when the phone situation happened, somebody picked up and they were using the other extension and dialing. And I just wonder if it was just a message. You know, Janice enjoyed, every time I went on the air with, you know, you guys on PLR. So I'm just wondering if that was some kind of, a message that everything was okay.
Everything is okay. She's okay. And I think she could be happy that you're back doing what you love to do.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. That's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel.
The most haunted places in Connecticut, and we get the backstory from Michael Balava. He's author of Wicked Bridgeport, Wicked New Haven, and he's having a free virtual paranormal program, Connecticut Hauntings and Folklore, at the Black Rock branch of the Bridgeport Public Library next Thursday, the 29th at 7. So you just sign in. Right? You don't have to go.
Right.
All right, if the tribe has places you'd want him to comment on, or if you have comments on what Michael's talking about, you know the lines, right? Let's start with the Melon Heads, which was sent in by tribe members yesterday.
Yeah, the Melon Heads, it's a statewide phenomenon. I think particularly in New Haven and Fairfield County.
I thought it was Shelton and Trumbull. Where Shelton and Monroe argue over where they are.
Exactly. You know, Trumbull, I've heard of Melonhead stories in Roosevelt Forest in Stratford. Downs Road, which we just touched on yesterday in Hamden, Bethany. So Melonheads, folks that are somehow, they reside in the woods, far removed from everybody, I guess original social distancers and just hidden from sight, that and the characteristic that everybody reports is that the heads of these people are extra large.
Wow.
And
some big hats.
Some some people feel, and when they've talked about it, it may not be so far-fetched if they've just folks who've retreated into nature and that maybe have just become inbred, and that this is a physical defect, a physical problem that they're experiencing.
Well, that's sad then.
Yes, yeah, it is. Mm. It is sad. But it's interesting that it's Downs Road, it's Trumbull, Stratford, I think even
Downs
out in Fairfield.
Road.
Yeah, Downs Road in Hamden.
Isn't that a weird name for it?
Downs Road, it's a cool-looking dirt road, and so it wants to attract, you know, scary stories, and not just, they say, the melonheads who live in the woods surrounding Downs Road, but they're supposedly the Downs Road monster. You think Bigfoot, but a much smaller version. I don't know, four or five
feet
tall.
Wow, it's Bigfoot's mini-me?
Right, I'm thinking, yeah. John Kruger fans, you know, melonheads.
And at the end of Downs Road, where it kind of peters down to a smaller path, is where the Downs Road monster is supposed to exist.
When I was a kid, the older kids would say they would drive down the road and beep their horns, and the melonheads' hearing was so sensitive that they'd all come running out.
Oh, nice.
So that was the thing. They would drive down the road, beep the horn, and then get chased by the melonheads.
Right. That was the thing doing Saturday night, yes.
Right.
That story is reported, and also if the cars would be surrounded by either melon heads or it could be this Downs Road monster, and then throw rocks at the cars as well, and, you know, pummel the cars with rocks.
You have a body shop by any chance?
Pete and Seymour.
Hi. There's a place called the Hell House on the border of Seymour and Derby, and I know the Warrens went there.
The Hell House.
Seymour and Derby.
Is that a fraternity? Mm-hmm.
Hell House.
Delta House, Hell House.
And what have you heard about Hell House and on that border?
Well, I know that the Warrens were from, like, Monroe, and there was a special on the show called The Haunting. And
Phil,
can
you look it
like,
up? We're going to look it up right now. What did you hear about it?
I heard that there was, like, a demon attached to a guy who had died in the house, and they looked it up at the local library, and it was true or something, and then the Warrens had to get rid of it.
Man, I hate the word demon.
Yeah, especially when they have a house.
I am like, because, you know, so it's one thing for a ghost, but a demon just seems like they'll
cut the lawn at like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, things like that. Really, really bad demon things.
Wow, I have one street away from me then.
Right, they're the ones who, like, you know, give out Smarties, you know, on Halloween. You know,
right.
It's hell.
Or is it Smarties or is it raisins?
Smarties, because Smarties just have no flavor.
Or it's
just
pencils.
Oh yeah, even worse. Or toothbrushes.
Yeah, right. That's the worst.
Yeah. Really?
All right, Pete. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
It's a hell house,
no
right?
No problem. Thank you.
All right. So talking about the most haunted places in Connecticut, Michael Balava is on. Tribe is chiming in here, Michael. Let's go with Melonheads getting word that that was near Dracula Drive. Where is Dracula Drive?
In Trumbull.
Huh? In Trumbull. Okay.
Oh.
The Dracula Drive?
Yeah,
Dracula
I didn't know that Drive. Either.
That sucks.
Frog people.
Frog people?
Somebody chimed in with that. Have you heard of frog people?
It sounds like it's a variation on the melon heads that maybe they've retreated into the woods and just trying to escape society.
Close to a swamp, maybe?
But I don't know. Right. No, I don't know about frogs. I know that the horror writer H.P. Lovecraft bases a lot of his stories around that recurring theme of people who are evolved into fish kind of frog-looking people. But I haven't heard about that in Connecticut yet.
Hey, frog people.
The guy's name is Tad Pole, yes.
They drink blood.
They do. Blood wines. But why?
One person wanted to challenge yesterday's little people story. I just say to the people who don't believe, it's like religion.
Yeah.
You don't believe, you don't believe. If you believe, you believe. If you think there's something to it, then fine. Yeah.
We're not going to have a large court case. You always explain these stories away.
Right. Let's go with Barahack.
What is Barahack?
Barahack, it's a Welsh word, and it means to break bread or breaking bread.
Sounds like a cat with a hairball, Barahack.
And it was a town, and it's located within Pomfret, Connecticut, in the eastern side of the state. It's a ghost town now. It had started, oh gosh, just before 1800, and the founders of that town were Welsh. And Higginbotham, I think, was the name of one of them, and Roland was the other. And they built a small factory that made spinning wheels, and the town never really thrived that well. And people left, or they died. What's strange about the town, now that's a totally normal story, but people who go there to this day say that they can hear voices. It's now known as the Village of Lost Voices or the Village of Ghost Voices. They can hear children laughing coming out of the cemetery there. There's a small cemetery in the woods.
Jeez.
That's creepy.
That folks that are visiting, they can hear the wagon wheels of carriages, the horses, cows. There's no animals. There are no people around, but they can hear these sounds as if it's some kind of audio vortex into the past, and that these individuals are just reliving their lives. Other strange stories about Barra Hack. And this goes back to when slaves were residing in the town as well. They would always complain. They would never want to walk by the cemetery at night. There was a particular tree where they either saw gremlins or they said small ghost babies. And folks, even up into the 1970s, would repeat those stories that they saw the same things. They would see a baby or a ghost creature, small ghost creature, in the tree next to the Barra Hack Cemetery.
A baby.
Small ghost babies.
Well, the gremlins are fine, just don't get them wet.
Right.
Ghost babies in the trees.
Ghost babies are the worst ghosts.
Yes. Like little Caspers running around. There they are now. I heard them.
Ugh. Yeah.
No, but Barra Hack is a really interesting. Just the fact that it's a Welsh community. The name doesn't even belong in New England. The cellar holes are there. The cemetery is there. There have been investigations in the past. It's on private property now because so many people just went in and made a nuisance of themselves.
How many people?
They had to shut the spot down.
Was that your stomach, Chaz?
No.
Ashley?
Was it mine?
What was that?
What was the name of the two people in town?
Let me think here.
Obadiah Higginbotham and
yes.
Higginbotham.
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 And Obadiah.
Yep. And Jonathan Randall.
Oh, it's Randall. Yes. Jonathan Randall. Obadiah was a deserter from the British Army. Both families lived in Rhode Island. And I think in Cranston area, Rhode Island. And they came here to the Pomfret spot to start new lives.
Yes. And you said everybody in the town died or left. Isn't that true for every town?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, there's nothing unnatural about that. It just, the economy petered out.
But people died, like, did they die? What was that town? And then we're going to go to Rich and Torrington. There was a town that, like, everybody died or went mad and, like, started killing
Was that Dudley Town?
Is that Dudley Town?
I think it was Dudley Town.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like to talk about that site. There's something really negative about that place.
Oh, okay.
You could feel it just walking into the woods down those old dirt lanes.
It's part of the charm, yes.
Rich and Torrington sounds like the devil coughing up a hairball
I know.
Baby ghost.
The devil called in.
Rich, go ahead.
I'm trying to clear the voice before the air timers. I'm not possessed or anything
Thank
like
you.
That.
Are you sure?
Up in Torrington, there's a place called the Yankee Peddler Inn. Which is right on Main Street in Torrington. And what they did a few years back was they'd made a movie called The Innkeepers, kind of a B-level movie. It wasn't released in any major studios or anything, but it was about the hauntings of the Yankee Peddler Inn. And the real creepy thing was they kind of premiered the movie at the Warner Theater, which is right on Main Street in Torrington.
Right.
And you got to tour the inn right after the movie where they filmed some of the actual scenes.
Mm.
So you want to talk about creepy. It was not comfortable going over there after.
Oh, I like that.
Did they take you down into the basements? I mean, it's just a series of tunnels and rooms that, and I know it's an inn, so they need a lot of storage space, but those tunnels just seem to go on forever.
They had some tunnels down there. I think we were allowed to, which is even worse, we're allowed to peek down in the basement. And then there was a real narrow alleyway where one of the final scenes was filmed. I think there was some sort of body or killing or something there. But so we got to actually walk down the alleyway. We got to tour some of the ruins. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we just got to peek down into the basement. They really didn't let us walk into the basement. So it was even worse, I think, because we just got that little peek down there and you weren't quite sure what was past what you could see down in the basement.
Yeah. I'm guessing a gift shop at the end.
AJ, how much money to spend a night in that one of those tunnels?
Over $1 million.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would be all.
Over $1 million. We'll all start right there.
Talking about the most haunted places in Connecticut. Where's the rattiest place in Connecticut and one of the most rattiest places in the country?
Where's the rattiest one?
That's coming up.
Where's the rattiest?
At 7 o'clock in news. Michael Balawa is on, and he's author of Wicked Bridgeport, Wicked New Haven. And we're linked up to all his stuff on the radio station website. Diana in Wethersfield.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. What do you got?
I was going to say, just on a cheeky note, I was going to say the most spookiest place that I know of in Connecticut is my sister Maria's kitchen.
Right. What does Maria do?
She cooks like hell, huh?
She kills people.
You know, uses
with their
the smoke
cooking
detector as a timer. And
right.
Oh, I do that sometimes.
That means the meatloaf is done.
Well. Well done. So, no, I absolutely love you guys, and I love you guys. You guys just keep the sanity going in this insane time.
We're
sane. We love you too.
Okay.
All right, Diana.
Scary part, she said we're sane.
Hold on. Let's walk into her sister's kitchen.
Messenger of God.
Here.
You're doomed if you stay here.
I just want something to eat.
This place is cursed.
Wow.
Cursed.
I just wanted a bite of that meat.
It's a death curse.
What?
Who are you? What do you want?
God sent me. Get out of here, man.
That's funny. That's, you know why they put hot girls in these movies?
Why?
Because if you think about it, all right, so that was a group of teenagers, right, going off to camp.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody comes and says, you're going to die. That place is cursed.
Right.
What's every dude going to be like?
I'll risk it.
I'll take my chances.
Right. Yeah, she's going, I'm going.
I have this whole thing in my mind of what's going to happen on this weekend.
Exactly right, yeah.
I'll take my chances.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I'm good. All right. Thank you, dude.
I got a baseball bat in my car. Okay. Right.
Michael, is there anything you wanted to cover before we leave? We're going to have you back on. This is, I've had the most fun with you.
Oh, this has been great. And it's great sharing the stories for everybody listening. Have a safe Halloween. You know, be careful wherever you go, socially distant. That's why the outer doors, these haunted sites are great. But do respect them on a number
right
of levels for the human owners and also whoever may reside there.
One quick one before we go. What about the Ledge Lighthouse?
Oh, the Ledge Lighthouse. The Ledge Lighthouse is a beautiful place to visit. In the summer, they have a small boat that will ferry people out to the lighthouse. It was built in 1909. You can see it from I-95 at the mouth of the Thames River and in New London Harbor. It's been haunted, actually, going back to when it was under construction. They piled all the rocks there where there, you know, it was a dangerous channel, and the construction workers were missing tools, seeing shadow beings, and eventually, of course, when the light was built, people have talked for decades, and this is all coming from folks in the Coast Guard, that they would see a ghost who they dubbed Ernie. And Ernie was supposedly the keeper there in the 1920s or 30s, who, when his wife ran off with the Block Island ferry captain, he committed suicide.
Ooh.
And it's his spirit that resides in the lighthouse. Shadow figures are seen. Women are the only ones who actually see the ghost of Ernie for some reason. But the foghorn goes on and off. The light would go on and off. And these are dangerous things that the Coast Guard they're not going to mess around with or, you know, just make up stories.
Right.
It's a dangerous situation. Those things, paranormal things would happen, but also footsteps They would hear voices and definitely the shadow figures. So New London Ledge Lighthouse is one of the most haunted lighthouses in the world.
Michael, thank you for coming on. We're linked up to all your stuff on the radio station website. We'll talk to you before Halloween. And Michael's having a virtual paranormal program that's free. And we're linked up at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.